This is Not the Average Real Estate Podcast by Not Your Average Real Estate Investor. Dipna Boholt used real estate investing strategies to completely replace the income from her accountancy practice with passive income in just 18 months and has since taught thousands of others to do the same. Welcome to the I Love Real Estate Podcast.
Welcome back to the I Love Real Estate Podcast. This is John Gian, co-founder of Isle of Real Estate and Knowledge Source, filling in here for Dipna on our millennial series, Property Young Guns. You're going to absolutely love this next story. Young Ted, who came into the apprenticeship and the coaching that we made available for young kids by his own admission, a little bit cocky, had a building background where he knew a little bit, a thing or two about building and thought he could really crush the game. And you know, I want to really highlight how he came in and how he ended up and the lessons that he learnt and the significant things that impacted his life through this journey was eye-opening for all of us who experienced Ted's growth through the journey. So I'm going to take you straight now to the presentation where Kevin and Dipna sort of break down his story, his experience, and what were the things that really empowered him right to the end, and now clearly are very, very important to him. So a great story, funny guy as well. You'll love this presentation. So I'm going to take you straight now to the seminar room and hand it over to Dipna.
All right. I'll confess. So I may have been sailing on a boat when this presentation was due.
And so somebody else might have actually done it for you.
I may have had a little bit of help from an outside influence, hence the little animations. But suits me perfectly. My name's Ted, so that's pretty much how the year went for me. Fell down the stairs after Kevin kicked me, and I wouldn't have wanted to do it any other way. So I started out, I'm one of six kids. I'm from small town of Moree in rural New South Wales, a little farming town. Doesn't have a very good name, as some of you probably know. But I decided to get out of there, hit the road. I didn't think there was a lot of opportunity in Moree, and I knew that if I didn't get out early, I probably never would. So I took the opportunity where it came and hit the road to Orange, where I moved in with a family that supported everything that I wanted to do. And obviously, my family, it wasn't about them. It was more about me and what I wanted to do and where I wanted to go. It wasn't that, you know, I was leaving to get away from them or anything like that. It's just that I saw more and I wanted more, so I went out and got it. So basically, I finished school in Orange. I completed my HSC, graduated with good marks. I could have gone straight into uni. I chose not to. Being my childhood dream to always be a builder, so you know that's what I still wanted to do, and I was going to pursue that. But I thought, you know, nothing had hurt from going and doing a job for a year just to make sure that you know it's really what I wanted to do. And in that time, I could gain some real life experience getting out there in the workforce and having to work for some money. So I became Farmer Ted. I actually started vlogging when I was Farmer 10. I started up a page and I actually got around 4,000 followers.
As Farmer Ted.
As Farmer Ted. So for the property games, I've had to lose the cowboy hat and the dodgy hick accent. But yeah, I pretty much worked my guts out for a year to try to save a bit of money. I didn't really have much of a plan after that, but I made it up as I went. There are a couple of snaps from the farm. It was probably one of the better times of my life. I really enjoyed working the long hours, and it really makes you appreciate money, even though I probably blew a lot of it up the wall and could have spent it a lot better knowing what I know now. You know, it was a great part of my life that taught me a lot about just experiences. So Bob the Builder here, I've got a little joke for you. What do you call Bob the Builder when he retires? Bob.
You're getting ready for the dad jokes.
Yeah, they'll come.
What do you mean they'll come? They're already here.
Yeah, so I pretty much finished up my time at the farm. I had a bit of money to run with, so packed up my gear once again and hit the road to the Central Coast. And when I got to the Central Coast, I didn't have a plan. I didn't have a job lined up or anything. I pretty much just turned up and said, I'm going to make a go of this. And what I found out, it wasn't as easy as what I thought it was. I went around to job sites, seeing builders, you know, calling people, applying for jobs, and no one had given me a start. You know, I didn't have much on my resume apart from working on a farm for a year and I was fresh out of school. You know, I was a little bit older than those that were leaving school. You know, they like apprentices that start young and I just wasn't one of those. But basically, I was ready to throw in the towel and just head back to Moree, keep working on the farm. When I thought, you know what, I'm going to give it one last crack. And I put an ad up on Gumtree. And as funny as it sounds, it actually turned the game around. I started putting builders on trial. So within the first 24 hours, I think I had about 10 different chippies or builders actually contact me and want to give me a start to come on for a trial. So I actually gave them 2 or 3 days each and I went and did different works for them. And yeah, I think I got to about the fourth or fifth builder and the environment and the small tight-knit circle that was there, the variety of work that I was chasing, it all came in the one package. And something that I was very strong about as well that thinned out a lot of the builders was I wanted it indentured. I wanted it guaranteed that I was going to see my trade through and have the necessary experience to open up my own company, because obviously that's what I wanted to do in the end. There was a few rough times, obviously, throughout my first year of the apprenticeship, moving places, living out of a caravan, all those sorts of things that you do. Living it rough as a first year apprentice, living out of home. But yeah, I was always in contact and the support was always there when I needed it from family or friends, even though I was I was probably 700 Ks away from them, they were always there on the phone. So this happened around the same time. A lot of you probably don't notice, but I've got a scar from my hairline to my right eye, and that's where my head got split open in this car accident. I took my eyes off the road for a split second, looked back up, and it was game over. It just shows that you've really got to focus on what you are wanting to achieve and where you want to go instead of letting little things distract you. So I got distracted for a little second. This is where I ended up. But ultimately for me, this was a very good wake-up call. You know, if I could go back, I probably wouldn't change this because it completely changed my mindset. You know, I thought I was 10 foot tall and bulletproof. I'm not. I'm not even 6 foot. So, you know, I really needed that and I wouldn't change a thing about it. You know, I've recovered in full health with a few scars to tell a story, but definitely a life-changing part of my life. So that's pretty much how I looked. I was working 7 days a week as a first-year apprentice on the Central Coast, and I picked up another job at night. So I was burning the candle at both ends pretty rapidly, as you could say, and not getting a lot of sleep. And I got this link sent to me on Facebook by my older sister, Casey. And I wasn't very happy about it. I called her up. I said, don't send me spam on Facebook, I don't need it, and had a bit of a dig. And typical Casey, she said, you know, pull your head in, have a bit more of a look into it. So I waited till I had a little bit more sleep and I did a little bit of digging, and that's how I actually found out about the property games. But what's funny is I'm the only one of the seven of us that stand up here that had nothing to do with the I Love Real Estate community, knew no one in it, knew nothing about it. And me being the typical 19-year-old I was, I thought, there's a cliff, I'll jump off it. So at the start of the property games, I really thought I was red hot. this is a pie graph that I actually made. I did this one, and not Kirsten. But you can see that big majority, that's what I thought I knew. You know, you could have just asked me, I would have told you all about it. I would have told you how good I was, everything that I was achieving. You know, I felt like I had to prove that I was somebody when it was only me that I was trying to prove it to. And I guess I've worked that out along this journey that I guess I don't need to prove anything to anyone else, and I don't need to prove it to myself either. I can just do what makes me happy. So when I came into the property games, I was working 7 days a week, working hard, so I was rewarding myself. I had a few toys and picked up my little dog Zeus along the way, picked him up from the pound. And when I started the property games, I had to say goodbye to the high life and sold both my motorbikes. I knew I was going to be unemployed and needed a bit of money, even though those reserves dried up pretty quickly. I sold my stuff. I worked out a place for my dog Zeus to stay, and I pretty much put my life on the hold to jump off the cliff, and Dipner and Kevin caught me with open arms. We landed on the island. As you can see, it was a pretty tough lifestyle where I was working there at the dock. Great guys to hang out with, all these guys here on stage, you know. I wouldn't have wanted to do it with anyone else because, you know, even though there was the ups and downs with the island and, you know, Barris, our liaison with management there, trying to work out our pay conditions and work agreements and all those sorts of things, as soon as he takes off, I've got to take over the reins. So all of a sudden I'm at the head of the chariot and I don't know what's going on. Don't know whether I'm Arthur or Martha, but, you know, I'll give it a crack. Along the way, we also all chipped in and had a bit of a go at building a tiny house. And I'm sure some of you guys saw that and the publicity around that. I was at the Future Housing Task Force event with Kevin. That's identical to the caravan that I lived in on the Central Coast. But that caravan actually had stuff in it. The one that I was living in didn't have anything in it. So, and then I decided to get a deal under my belt. Pretty much before I came across this deal, I hit rock bottom and I didn't know what to do, where to turn, you know, same as Liam and I'm sure all the other guys. I hit that point where, you know, I was ready to throw in the towel and say, it's not for me, you know. I'll just go back to doing what I was doing, you know. It's a bit hard. But I actually thought I'd give it one last crack again, and I reached out to a couple of my mentors, Steve and Nadia Hart, and they've really taken me under their wing in terms of this property stuff, but also, you know, personal things as well. I could go to them with any problem I had and they'd be there with open arms to support me through it. So these are the numbers on the deal. Bought it for $215 in inner city Brisbane and spent about $25K on the reno, all costs included, $272, fully tenanted right now for $470 a week, so it's not hurting. You know, that's well and truly covering the mortgage, and it's on the market at the moment for $350 to $380. So if you want a good investment, go and snap that one up. So I guess through doing the unit renovation with Steve and Nadia, I guess we both like working with each other a lot. That's actually at the completion, I think at maybe the first open day that we had at the unit. So, you know, we were pretty stoked to turn that one out. They like working with me so much that they actually offered me a job to put me on for my trade and so I can keep going and be a qualified builder. And so...
So you're not going back to the Central Coast then?
I won't be going back, no.
No way!
There seems to be a couple of strong arguments as to why I should stay here, so I took those into account and I moved a few things around. Basically, next thing on my list was, you know, everyone was moving off the island and a lot of us were from up here. You know, Liam, Kirsten, Chanel, you know, they all sort of had family or friends around the area that they could go out with, but me being from down Moree, the middle of nowhere, I didn't really have anywhere to go. And it was actually through the Tiny House Project that I met Mark and Sue Jordan. I actually met Mark on the very first day, the first event we went to, and I told him that I was going to throw my trade in the bin and just become a property magnate. We talked about it since then and he laughs at me. he knows that wasn't going to happen. He said he knew from the start that I like my trade too much and I wouldn't give it away. And, you know, he came through exactly right. Basically, Mark and Sue offered me a place to stay without wanting anything in return. I moved in with them and was able to bounce anything and everything off them. You know, they saw me the days I didn't talk. They saw me the days I had a tub of cookies and cream ice cream connoisseur. Or two. At one sitting. Let's not talk about that. But, yeah, I moved in with them and I felt part of the family, you know. It's good to not only have somewhere where you can go and they support you in everything that you do, but also they get the property stuff, and that's, I think, a big reason why I actually have come so far in the property games is for Mark and Sue constantly being there for me throughout it. So thank you, Mark and Sue. So this is another part of the story. I may have broken the contract with another one of these guys that stands up here. I don't know if you know who, but
so
I'll let you work that
the
out.
So you didn't understand word either?
I had the same conversation with Calvin. We worked out that we could get out of it pretty easily. I think one of us may have lost the contract in the beginning anyway, so that was all sweet. But I just can't stress enough that how important it is to, if you do have a partner, to have them involved in everything that you're doing property-wise. To be able to go home to your loved one or whoever you've got at home, your family, and be able to talk to them about a deal you're doing or a problem you're having, and they actually get what you're talking about. I think for me that's a really huge thing. That's why I said with Mark and Sue, I was able to talk about anything with them. And now obviously I've moved out with Kirsten and I'm getting the same thing there. You really need to be able to talk about anything and everything, and it's not just the property stuff. It's all about where you want to be, goal setting, motivations, you know, all those sorts of things. It's a holistic approach. It's not just let's get out there and do deals and smash them out and make heaps of money, because you can go out there and do that, but you'll fall on your ass in the end, you know. So you really need to have someone there that's going to support you through the journey. I guess throughout this whole journey, I've just really learned to be grateful. Grateful for what I have, grateful for what I'm given, grateful for how much people help me out. You know, it seems to be no coincidence that wherever I go now, you know, there's always people that are there wanting to help a hand. You know, if I have a problem, they're there to help. Nothing's too big, nothing's too small. I'm not a hassle. I don't feel like a hassle anymore. And I guess what I've realised is when I first came into the property games, I really thought that I was red hot and, you know, I was probably cocky confident. But I worked out through working with Kevin and Lisa that I was actually because I was hiding my own vulnerability by coming across as this arrogant, cocky, you know, know-it-all guy. That was just hiding deep down what was going on. And I think that's been the biggest breakthrough for me through the property games is finding my own vulnerability and not just ignoring it. So so you may be wondering if I'm a star out of a 70s porno, but it is for a good reason that I've got this little bush on my face. You know, I am only 20, by the way. But it's two of the biggest things that aren't talked about, especially where I'm from in the country. I know that, you know, I can't even remember talking about it with my old man or my family growing up. One of them's money, and another one of those things is health, and in particular men's health. You know, there's a lot of stuff that goes under the radar out west particularly. I'm not really sure, but I'm sure it's the same in metro areas. You know, it's just common things that aren't talked about. One of those big things is money. That's more so out west, but men's health is a big thing. And I know Kevin touched on it as well. Mental health is a big thing that affects a lot of families. And that's something that's affected my family quite a bit. It was a slight reason of why I decided to get out of Moree. There was reasoning there. But, you know, you need to talk about it and have the conversation. And since being in this community and having the education and finding my own vulnerability, I've been able to speak to my old man and my parents and my family about these issues and actually bring that up and not feel bad about it, not feel like it has to be silenced, because it really is something that needs to be brought up and talked about on a regular basis. I'm not sure whether these are going to play, but they're actually videos. No, they're not.
No, they didn't play.
Oh, no. Is there any way to get those to play, Michael? Nah. Oh, well. I'll talk you through it. So in this first one here, that's at Curran Cove. No persons were hurt in the making of this video. Basically, she's come around the corner, walking in all professional with her computer. I'm standing there filming myself, about to scare the bejesus out of her. She came around the corner, I scared the bejesus out of her. She starts crying. Was that good commentary or what? And so the middle one here, we were working away, you know, slave labour on Curran Cove. sanding back some tables and stuff, and he thought, why not have some fun? Let's see how many people we can stack on Ted. We managed two, and we gave up because Kirsten complained about hitting her head or something. But, yeah, the last one here, that's Liam. Big day. We used to have to catch the boat to and from Curran Cove, and, you know, it takes its toll when you turn up at Kevin's office for a big day of getting drilled and getting made to cry and getting kicked and all those sorts of things. All the good stuff that Kevin provides.
You make it sound like it's a bad thing.
So I guess the most important thing that I've learned along the way is you've got to enjoy it. If you're not loving what you're doing, you can't really make anything of it. You know, you might get to the end destination and you'll have lots of money, but you won't have, you know, you've missed the main pie. By then, the oven's already burnt your pie to a crisp, so...
Hang on, Ted, you're not finished. This one here looks surprisingly similar to Kirsten's.
All right, I may have had some help with this one as well.
And if I remember correctly, 20 in 27 is not 30.
They get bigger after 27.
The reason for that is he doesn't think he's going to get past 30, you see. So
27 in this case.
I've made it this far, I'm going all the way.
There you go. Good on you, Ted.
His mother's a little worried about him. He was born in a car and he's tried to die in one a couple of times.
Not anymore, he's passed all of that. Yeah. Well done, Ted, and you know, for opening up a lot about things. I mean, amazing to see how much you've grown over this year has been extraordinary.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, welcome back. I hope you really, really enjoyed that and you really, really enjoyed Ted's new direction now and what he discovered about himself and, you know, the impact that this young man can have in all areas of not just his life but his family's life through what he's admitted there with mental health and, you know, just amazing what some of the byproducts of what come out of somebody going in. All very cocky, looking to make money and, you know, probably not really be true to himself in a lot of ways, but then coming out of the end and really just admitting to himself exactly what's important to him going forward. So I hope you enjoyed that. Just before you take off, please share this story because I think it's an extra important one to share with young men especially. And also subscribe if you haven't subscribed. Leave us a comment as well what you think of the Millennial Series. It's, it was great having the opportunity to put this together with the team. So for now, I hope you enjoyed this episode and we'll see you again shortly. Have a great day.